her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looked like he
Our brew crew not playing their best baseball right now. They have been shut out a bunch this month. Now, they did get a win yesterday, so they salvaged their series against and ended the winning streak of the red-hot Minnesota Twins. But after they were shut out for the fourth time in five games, and for, what, the sixth time this month already?
Tying a franchise record for the month. In case you've been living under a rock.
Not great.
It is, what's today, the 19th?
Today's the 19th.
A lot of days left.
There's still a handful of days left, yes. So things haven't been going well for the Brewers. But Pat Murphy had this interesting thing to say on Saturday after they had lost. Again, they won the game yesterday. So this is from after they had lost, you know, getting shut out for the second consecutive day, fourth time in 5 days. Here's what Pat Murphy had to say. And I'm curious if anybody else heard what me and Joshy heard when Pat Murphy talked about his team's offensive struggles.
To stay undaunted means the mental toughness to stay in the now. It's really, really hard. And it's hard when you care a lot. But caring a lot isn't enough. You got to care a lot and you got to do it. Be in the now. I trust the players. I like the players. I think they're good. Now, did we go spend a lot of money in the offseason, guys? Let's call a spade. No, we didn't. Did we, you know, are we real deep in the position player business? No, we're not. But we have good ones. And we have ones that aren't getting the results right now and aren't in their best state of mind.
Oof. Anytime you bring up money in the Milwaukee Brewers, it becomes a sticky situation, right? It is a point of contention on the fan base, because I certainly saw some people, and one of the more famous Brewers fans out there, and Sam Decker, you know, bringing this up, because people brought up the comment from Mark Murphy earlier, actually not Mark Murphy, from Mark Attanasio earlier this offseason when he talked about, you know, how, you know, is it his job? To, you know, is it their job to compete for championships, or is it their job to, you know, provide the entertainment? And
let's go ahead and just replay that okay. For people here in case you are living under a rock.
Similar to the question, what's your job? Forget about calling yourself, you know, if you're the steward of baseball here. Is my job to win a World Series? Now it's going to, everybody say, oh, he doesn't think he has to win a World Series, but my job to win a World Series is my job to provide a summer of entertainment and passion and a way for families to come together.
Yeah, so in the Brewers have tried to clarify that, saying Mark just didn't finish his thought there, but obviously the way that came off, it stuck with a lot of the fan base. It stuck with a lot of the fan base. So anytime money comes up, that's going to be part of the conversation. And this seems like, to me, a manager who is bringing this up, yes, out of frustration. Yes, he still likes his team. He thinks his team can get it done, but he also feels like it would be easier had the team spent a little bit of money to try to bolster what they had offensively, especially, and again, this goes back to, they basically lost one player this year, Josh. They lost Willy Adames. And I completely agree, by the way, with them not giving Adames the contract that the Giants ended up giving him, because that's not a contract that's going to age well, I believe. But that doesn't mean you can't spend money elsewhere. And they didn't really try to find a way to replace Adames, thinking that, okay, we've got some guys, maybe they can. And I don't know if this is, A, missing Willie's bat, because he led the team in home runs last year. B, missing Willie's leadership, because it seems like that undaunted message, which is still around from last year, maybe was still there because of, you had somebody like Willy Adames, who was the heartbeat of that clubhouse. So I think that's kind of twofold of how much maybe they're missing Willie at this point, and he just didn't want to say that name. And then on top of it, he let some of his frustrations out about how they didn't try to go and replace some of that offensive production that Adames provided.
Yeah, the lack of spending money coming from inside the house is sort of a third rail thing for Brewers fans. Like, to be plain and honest about it, is the Brewers are spending less money on the team than they did last year. That is a fact. There's also players on the team who you still expect to be playing well. They aren't playing as well as you would hope they are.
Contreras.
Right.
Yelich.
Right. But the fact of the matter is, Pat Murphy is expressing here, and maybe it's slipped out, maybe it wasn't something he hoped he said, but he's thinking about it. He's thinking about, yes, I'm the manager of this team. Yes, I think we're a good team, but are we doing everything we can to win ball games? Are we turning over every rock, and are we pushing ourselves to sort of the logical, not that they need to be spending like the Padres or the Dodgers or the Phillies, but are we doing everything we can to field a competitive and winning baseball team? And it seems like he's had some doubts about that, because why else would you say?
We also know that some of these frustrations are part of the reason Craig Counsell left, and obviously yes. him and Counsell are tight.
Yes.
He was here for a lot of that Craig Counsell time. So I don't think this is anything new for him.
No.
The curious part for me is bringing it up now.
Yes.
Because now you can't really do much about it.
Well,
I mean, I guess you could trade for someone that has a little bit more salary, but that's still a month and a half away, right? Of like serious trade negotiations.
Yes.
I mean, realistically, probably closer to 2 months away because it's the end of July. So bringing it up now...
Well, you bring it up now because...
Because it slipped. It's something that frustrated you a while ago, and now your team is not playing the way you want them to do.
Underperforming.
And I think it just kind of slipped out. But we found out how Pat Murphy
yes.
actually feels. Too many Marks, too many Murphys uh-huh. in Wisconsin leadership right now, Wisconsin sports leadership.
Well, one of them's sunsetting on his career here.
Yeah, so. Thank God. Maybe I'll actually get names right. But I think that's part of it. I think he's just frustrated, and this is a frustration that he has held and had, and he just kind of let it slip. But for it coming from inside the building, that again, it's never going to be a good look when it is coming from somebody who is there. Dave from Aaron, I think Brewers are missing some leadership, but Willie not doing that great for the Giants either. Does seem like Hoskins stepping into that role, at least as the veteran leader. And part of that is ballpark fit and comfortability. And I felt like last year for Willie, part of the reason why the Brewers also probably didn't pay Willie is it felt like last year was the career year, and you don't want to pay for that career
yes.
year and then be stuck on the hook, right?
Right. The Brewers just simply aren't in a spot to have bad contracts.
No.
Can't do it.
No.
Can't sign a guy with the way their bargaining agreement is. You're stuck with that money. You're mm-hmm. paying every dollar of mm-hmm. it. There are no outs.
Yeah.
You simply can't make an investment in somebody and have, like, when the Albert Pujols deal, remember that giant contract he signed
yeah.
for all those years? The team that signed that deal knew he wasn't going to be worth the money for, like, the last 4 years, but they could pay it because what they thought they'd get on the front end would pay off. The Brewers aren't in a spot to pay people not to perform.
And they thought, and I think correctly to a point for the Angels, his pursuit of milestone home runs,
yes.
500, 600, like even though he's not going to be as good, those are still numbers he eventually ended up
yeah.
hitting, and that's still going to bring people to the ballpark because they want to see the history of a player that good. Even, again, in the twilight of his career, hitting, you know, those historic home runs and the chase for that. And I think that was the bet that they had made. Willy Adames ain't hitting
nope.
career milestone home runs. So that's why, again, it doesn't make sense for the Brewers. And even if Willie had 1 year left on his contract, like I think, and Willie was still here, yes, the leadership part would still be a part of the Brewers. It was going to be really hard, I think, for him to replicate what he did last year, especially like the timeliness of the home runs.
Yes.
Tying Ken Griffey Jr.'s record for 3-run home runs in a single mm-hmm. season, like that's pretty special.
Yeah.
Also a little fluky.
Yes.
The fact that that's when he hit the home runs, and that was always going to be hard to replicate. But they didn't try to replicate any of that power, because the one thing that Willie always had was power. This team, they can't hit the ball out of the ballpark. Like,
no.
the only teams that are worse than them at hitting home runs this year are the Kansas City Royals and the Pittsburgh Pirates. They have the same number of home runs as the Chicago White Sox. Their slugging percentage, it's bad because of that. Only the White Sox and Pirates are worse. And there's a pretty significant gap between them and the Royals and Rockies at 26 and 27. They just don't have a lot of power. They're not hitting the ball from gap to bat. They're not getting the doubles. They're not getting the home runs. They're still able, despite all their horrific offensive numbers, they're still middle of the league in terms of runs scored because they lead the league in bases stolen. But you need some power to supplement that, which is something they just didn't do. They just thought that guys, whether it was Garrett Mitchell, who's somebody I thought would be a big contributor for them this year, he's hurt again, unfortunately. Christian hasn't played as well, and Contreras hasn't played as well. Some of the guys you were counting on haven't played well, and they didn't really have a backup plan. As Murph pointed out, there was no... There's not a lot of depth there at the position player level. I want to get to this call from Rick, but we do have to take a break. 800-990-3776. That's how you get involved in this conversation on the Carb Let's Talk and text line. We want to hear from you about the Brewers and what Pat Murphy had to say over the weekend. Coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
363.
What's that?
Number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a Bible verse, John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it
says. It was Joe 3:63, and it was, thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy making a note about how the Brewers did not go out and spend money on free agents this offseason while talking about the team after their loss on Saturday. Now, they did win yesterday, and I'm sure they're hoping that the bats will start to wake up during this homestand as they sit below 500 currently. 800-990-3776 is how you get into the show on the Carbless Talk and text line. Let's go out to Rick in Pewaukee. Rick, you're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hi, guys. I hear what you're saying about the players that aren't hitting right now, but I think the biggest problem is you look at their 8-9 hitters, guys they got in trades for Burns and for Williams, and I'm looking at Arnold and I'm starting to wonder. I think they panicked when it came to the trades. You got a guy in each trade that can't hit his weight, and a pitcher who's always injured. I'm starting to wonder if this guy knows what he's doing, or if they were in such an urgent, you know, situation to trade these guys that they just took what they got. And now you're talking about, now you see articles talking about Peralta and at the trade deadline. And with Matt Arnold, I'm starting to wonder, and I'm wondering if that's part of Pat Murphy's thing. You know, all of a sudden, what are you going to get for Peralta? And this guy gives these guys away for nothing. 8-9 is what's killing them. Shortstop, third base.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Joey Ortiz was a highly regarded. This is the problem with prospects, right? This is, you just never know how they're actually going to pan out. Joey Ortiz was a highly regarded prospect when he was traded to the Brewers. Like, defensive guy, yeah, his offense probably not going to be, and his offense is even worse right now than projected, right? Like, that's certainly part of the issue. And Caleb Durbin, it's not like he was a power guy to begin with either. So, some of the guys that they got in some of these trades, you know, when you bring up Ortiz, you bring up Durbin, third base is the one spot I think that everybody's pointing to, of, because you were stuck at first base, like, with the contract that they signed last year, and it's actually worked out for them this year, you know, with Rhys Hoskins, where he's actually performed better this year than he did last year, even in now a year further removed from the ACL injury that he had, and he opted into his contract. That's worked out. But the big question for this team was third base. What was third base going to look like because Ortiz was going to move over? Can you get a power bat there? Can you get somebody who can drive the ball out of the ballpark, be a little bit more productive offensively? And they decided to try to replace from within, and it just hasn't worked out almost 2 months into the season.
I don't want to fully excuse Matt Arnold for any of this, but he's doing the best he can with the parameters he's given. Now, you can argue maybe the scouting department didn't have the best read on Joey Ortiz. Maybe I would point to the Devin Williams trade, and maybe those assets weren't the right place to go with it. But he has to do what he has to do, given the amount he's allowed to spend, given the assets he has there, and given what the market dictates to him. To a degree, you have to look at him because some of these guys aren't developing where they should be, aren't as far along as you would hope. But I think he's making the best of the situation he's been given.
Yeah, I think if he had more money to spend, he would have spent it.
Yes. And I think if he had the opportunity to spend more money in places, if he had opportunity to get other assets, he would have. But when you enter into a, we all know we all know you have to trade this guy.
Yeah.
Your options are limited. Everybody in the MLB knows how the Brewers operate. There's no mystery. You're not going to sell the farm for a guy you know they're going to end up having to let go at the end of the season anyways. So it is what it is in terms of that.
Which is why you try to make that trade before, which right. is why, again, if they continue to struggle, that's why the name Freddie Peralta could come up.
Correct.
If they are still below 500 when we get to the trade deadline in 2 months.
Right. We can't make Matt Arnold blameless.
No.
But I don't think he's the main factor to why the Brewers are looking at a potential season they are right now.
Steve asking, how much do hitting coaches play a role? They brought up from AAA, and all hitting is worse. Well, look, it's easier to hit against that type of pitching than it is once you get to the major league level.
Hitting coaches in the MLB are the great pariah.
Oh, yeah.
Because hitting is as individual of an art as humanly possible. Mm-hmm.
Every guy's swing is different. You got to just, you know, you have these... Everybody's got a little bit of a different discipline. They've got a little bit different strategy when they're up there at the plate.
Some hitting coaches are going to be better for some players, worse for others. Sometimes guys just aren't going to perform. They're going to have stuff in their personal life going on that are affecting them day to day. Sometimes you're going to be like, baseball is one of those things where I think pitching coaches can matter and pitching development, as we've seen with the Brewers. What they've got going on with pitching and the guys are able to bring in and perform well matters a lot. Hitting to me is like, you just hope the guy pulls the right strings on the right guys to make a difference.
Yeah.
But we see them get fired all the time.
Well,
and it's like, what is this guy doing wrong even?
Chewy, I believe a lot of the hitting at that level, because again, you have your own, I mean, a lot of these guys working with their own hitting coaches during yep. the offseason, and they've got their own philosophies and whatnot, and you're trying to make it all work. At that level, the hitting coach kind of becomes Chewy talks about this all the time. Once he became an established player in the NFL, and what he was asking from his tight end coach, just give me information. Give me information. And I think that's what the hitting coach is doing. They're mm-hmm. organizing the scouting reports for pitchers, and they're giving that information as much as they can to the hitter. And trying to help them along. And if there is something mechanically wrong with their swing, maybe you can do that, but yes. you can't really overhaul swings because you're playing every single day. Do want to get to one more text, not necessarily about this, but just a question from Jeff, because apparently he missed something. Gabe, how do you know Gutekunst never called Devontae? What if he did and just didn't tell you or anyone else? Well, if he called Devontae, then he didn't tell Devontae. Because Devontae said that Gutekunst and the Packers never reached out.
From the horse's mouth.
Yes. Got that from Devontae Adams.
Yes.
Who said that they never received, his camp never received a call from the Green Bay Packers. Never received any interest from the Green Bay Packers.
Maybe he tried to FaceTime.
So that's, yeah, maybe. I don't know. But that's, in case you were one, that's where I'm getting that information from. It's from directly from Devontae Adams, just in case you happen to miss that earlier this offseason. We do want to get back to the NFL because there was a huge contract. That was a Friday news dump. We dive into that coming up next. But I do want to tell you that there is no better time to upgrade your windows or doors than right now. I'm going to tell you about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And they were just at my house last week. I got my free in-home consultation, and we were going through front door options. And I didn't realize... I don't need to have that storm door. We're getting rid of the storm door on the front. Doors now don't need it up there. So we're going to get it's going to look really clean in the front of the house. Can't wait for it to come. And it's easy to make that decision right now because Pella is offering up to 6 years of 0% financing. They listen to your vision, suggest Pella materials and customizations to make it a reality. The customizations, the number of colors we had to choose from, it was fantastic. Trying to pick out what that perfect front door is going to look like on our house. Get 0% financing for up to 6 years. Certain restrictions apply. Deal ends May 31st, 2025. So go today. Visit Pella. WI.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, this world is geared towards women.
Like, what do we get? I am stepping away from this. Goodbye.
Like, what do we get? They get a comb that dries your hair. We get a stupid razor. Hey, what's the coolest thing we get? They get the hair dryer.
Control.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I couldn't help myself on Friday, Joshy. I was driving around listening to KBN when the news of Brock Purdy's contract broke. You know, broke around, 4 o'clock Central Time on Friday that Brock Purdy was signing this huge contract. 5 years, $565 million, 181 of which is guaranteed. So, you know, he goes from a contract that paid him $3.4 million over 4 years to, well, now he is the seventh highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And they were acting like Brock Purdy was some saint for taking less than what Jordan Love took by $2 million, even though it's got more guaranteed money.
Like it's they just, meaning KBN.
Yes. Yes. KBN. Those guys in the afternoon. And I understand that the way that these things typically had worked is, okay, it's your turn. You're going to become the highest paid. That got upended because usually, and this you can see, everybody else that files in the annual average value behind Dak Prescott are all pretty close together. Because typically it's like, oh, you're the highest paid. Okay, now you get $1 million more. Now you get $1 million. And it's just kind of the respect behind it. And Dak Prescott was able to get a $60 million per year contract because he had more leverage than quite possibly any quarterback has ever had over a team based on the contract that he previously had where he could not be franchise tagged. Like this seems like an appropriate contract to me for Brock Purdy. This seems like an appropriate contract. $53 million. He's in the same ballpark as Jordan Love. He's not taking less. I don't want anybody to start that narrative that Jordan Love should have taken the Brock Purdy deal. Like that's what I was trying to nip in the bud when I had to call in and talk to... It was Kyle and... Brust wasn't even here. It was just Kyle and Nortman talking about how, you know, Brock Purdy took less because he wants to win a championship.
I'm disappointed in those two, especially a guy who's worked in finance, I believe,
right?
and knows his way around dealing with these numbers and how the salary cap worked. I mean, the practical guarantee number for Brock Purdy is $181 million. Jordan Love signed for $160 million. Average annual value is a thing we use to just kind of contextualize contracts.
Mm-hmm.
It is not really all that effective in who took what money. It's a great way that Tom Brady worked around accepting less despite his practical guarantees being a ton of money. He wasn't taking small deals to make his team better, and Brock Purdy didn't do that either. He took pretty much every dollar he could get out of the San Francisco 49ers. This game of signing contracts is a... You sign for what you sign, and the numbers you get put out are a way to advertise your agent and the agency and what the NFL thinks of you, but how it figures into the cap is all based on that guaranteed money. So him taking more would just mean, hey, salary cap's gone up. You're getting a deal very similar to Trevor Lawrence,
well, and
Jordan Love.
Yeah, because again, it's very similar. Like you said, the salary cap, teams have figured out ways around that, and if you are a GM that can't, you know, navigate a $2 million gap in one player, like, you're just not very good at your job.
Right.
Like, there's no player that's out there that you're going to be restricted from getting that's going to prevent you from winning a championship, whether you're making 55 or 53 on the annual average value. And again, the more important numbers there are, what are the cap hits?
Yes.
What are those actual restrictions of, you know, once you sign that big-time contract? Because I believe Dak Prescott this upcoming year has an astronomical cap hit.
Right.
Astronomical. It's outrageous. Even though it's going to be more than what his, you know, AAV is, because the cap is what you actually have to navigate around. His cap hit this year is going to be $50 million. The cap hit the following year is $74 million in 2026. $74 million. Like, those are the important numbers when it comes to... And I don't know how to get people to care about what that cap hit is more. Because the only time they actually cared about that seemingly was Tom Brady when he wanted to spin the narrative of, oh, hey, look, I'm taking less so we can win championships. Now you just added a bunch of dead years at the back. And when you left, the Patriots were stuck with a pretty big bill they had to foot, which they gladly paid because you delivered how many championships? But they just ended up paying it later than paying it up front.
Yeah, the only... quarterbacks getting more money than Brock Purdy are Lamar Jackson, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, Josh Allen. In between Purdy and Love is Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff, Tua, and then it's Jordan Love.
Well, because again, that important number is what's the guarantee. You said it. It's what the guarantee is.
Yes.
Because that's how hard it becomes to get out of a contract.
I did find this interesting that it for sure was a Friday news dump.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why. I was trying to piece together what that would mean. And now, as we know, contracts can come together at any time. Somebody moves on a certain thing. But they got this done pretty early in the process here. Like,
yeah, before OTAs, right. before
he's not going to miss any time. Remember, we were talking about Jordan Love sitting out and not going out there and participating because he had a giant payday coming his way, and it wouldn't make sense for him to go out and get hurt, even if it's just something in training and light, whatever it is, before signing that contract and getting that money guaranteed. So it seems like they all pretty came to the table and got what they were looking for because the number isn't that crazy. It's in line with the other numbers we've seen signed. I don't know why they wouldn't want this out or like, hey, we're going forward with our guy.
But honestly, at this point, because like the Friday news dump to me is still real and it kind of gets buried. If this would have came out Saturday morning, it would have had a bigger impact.
Yes.
Even though it's a weekend.
Well, I forgot it happened. I sent it in the group message, and then I said, oh, yeah, Brock Purdy signed a big contract. I was wondering, why are people talking about Brock Purdy so much? Oh, yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yes.
At 4 o'clock on Friday, he signed a giant deal for the San Francisco 49ers.
I lived a whole week over the weekend. I can't be figuring that in.
Yeah. So that I just couldn't believe that that was where KBN went with it on Friday. Is that, oh, he took less because he wants to win a championship. Like, eh.
I thought without Ben, those guys would be in a good place.
Well, apparently not. I mean, honestly, I'm most disappointed in Strofe. I feel like Strofe should have kept them online.
Nah. You can't. How much can you blame him?
Oh, I can't. I can blame him as much as I want. He's just sticking up for your Mr. Irrelevant
cohort? No. This is inherently a... He's kind of a dummy, you know? You know what you expect out of him. He's doing his best.
Okay, that's fair enough. It's fair enough. From the court to the classroom and the community, the Champions for Literacy celebration with Dwayne Wade and Travis Diener will be an evening you do not want to miss. Join Wade and Diener June 27th at the Garage at the Harley-Davidson Museum and make an impact by raising funds for literacy. Get tickets and full event information right now. WadeVersusDiener.GiveSmart.com. That's WadeVersusDiener.GiveSmart.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
My father would always say, and there's a rhyme and a reason to it. He said, if you wear your rubbers in the house, you'll go blind. Do the two youngsters on the show here even know what rubbers are? I'm talking the ones that go over the shoes.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Joshy, I'm not sure how much you're paying attention to NBA, NHL postseasons. I mean, we obviously don't talk a lot of hockey on this show, but
no.
The NBA, obviously with the Bucks, but since the Bucks are out, do you just not care? Do you not watch?
On a day like yesterday, yeah. Where it's like, hey,
couple of game sevens?
Yeah, why not? I'll tune in.
A couple of game seven blowouts.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't dictate. It doesn't dictate my life until the conference finals in both rounds, in both sports.
Well, so we're there. And does this bother you? The records of the Final Four in the NBA, during the regular season, OKC had the first, so they had the best record in the NBA, New York 5th, Indiana 8th, Minnesota 10th, and over in the NHL, Dallas had the 5th best record in the regular season, Edmonton 9th, Carolina 10th, Florida 11th.
Does it bother me? No.
Okay. Is that something that bothers you, that seemingly regular season success basically means nothing in these postseasons?
No, because I think, I mean, hockey is its own beast.
Yeah.
And things regularly happen in hockey where it kind of is confounding, confusing. It's not uncommon for the bell-to-bell best team to bow out in the first or second round. The NBA is interesting, too, because a lot of what we've seen has been dictated in some form or fashion by injuries. You can point to, obviously, the Bucks as one of that. The Celtics seemed to be on their way out, but that wasn't a guarantee that they were going to lose that.
Yeah, I mean, if Tatum's healthy, I think a lot of people are still giving him a chance to come back from 3-1.
Yeah,
that being said, they still dug themselves a 3-1 hole.
And here's one thing I've never understood about fans is, why do they care about the market and what the league would like most in terms of viewership?
So
aren't you just there to be entertained and watch good?
I feel like this is only a conversation that really happens in NBA circles.
It does, and a little bit in the MLB it sneaks through, especially when we saw the Texas Rangers,
yeah,
and then the was it the Diamondbacks that were in
Yeah, it was the Rangers Diamondbacks.
That conversation came up because I think a lot of it was like, you know, Yankees, those big markets, big time players type thing. And the Stars conversation is usually how it gets run through in the MLB. But to me, it's competition. It's the sport is sport. The stakes are what make it to me.
Yeah.
Not, oh, I got to watch Aaron Judge or...
And there are stars up and down for, in the NBA, right? Like, you've got the guy who's probably going to win the MVP against another guy. So that it seems like the regular season is mattering less and less in those sports, which is a problem for the regular season, like viewership numbers. And
let's be honest though, the NBA season could use a shortening.
Yeah, but guess what's never going to happen,
right?
Like, once you're there, you're never going to take that step back. You're not going to give that money back. It's just, again, I was just curious to see if you were somebody who necessarily cared about the regular season, not necessarily...
I like high-stakes sports being played.
Doesn't matter who they are.
Doesn't really matter.
All right, I like that. We'll see if there's anything high-stakes coming up with Willie and Tausch. That's next, 94.5 ESPN.